Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It is the last episode of January. It's felt like January's taken 6 months to get through, and here we are finally in the last week of the month. And we have our Super Bowl set. It is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. The worst case scenario for everyone that's not an Eagles Chiefs fan.
Yep.
And it's one of my least look forward to Super Bowls ever. I'll watch it because I always do. Rematched was that was just 2 years, ago, right?
Yeah, because good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch, he was texting me today asking me questions that I was having to research because I didn't know off the top of my head. And he asked me if Hurts was the most recent quarterback to go to a Super Bowl, lose, and then get back to one. Here's what he asked me. He asked me if Jim Kelly was the most recent before Hurts. And I believe he's right. I believe Jim Kelly was the last one before Hurts to lose a Super Bowl and get back there.
And then get back there, not including like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning.
Oh, correct. Because they won their first.
That's their a first good point. Lose their first one and then get back so recently.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Burrow hasn't been back.
No, Burrow hadn't been back, and
it might be
nobody on the NFC side.
No, Goff hasn't been back since he lost. Of course, that wasn't as recent as this one.
I mean, Kaepernick back in the day, he didn't get back there.
Yeah, right? Of course, it's been Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in the AFC.
Russell Wilson won his first one, then lost the next year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he had, like, Terry Collins, Rich Gannon, Jake Delhomme, those guys, they didn't get back there.
McNabb never got back.
Hasselbeck never got back.
Rex Grossman never got back.
Yeah, he definitely never got back.
Kurt
Warner won his first.
And then he lost. Yeah. Lost
again.
That's it. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
I've never even thought of a stat like that before.
Well, and he also
only Lynch.
He also asked me, when was the last time a team made the Super Bowl with new offense and defensive coordinators in their first year? Because that's what the Eagles are doing.
Yeah,
and so I looked it up. I believe it was the 09 Colts, Jim Bob Cooter, and then I don't remember who their defensive coordinator was because Tom Moore retired the year before, and they fired Meeks, their defensive coordinator from the year before.
DC in 09.
Yeah, I got it on my phone when I text them. I just don't remember the guy's name. It was Larry Coyer.
Never heard of him. Don't remember him at all.
Yeah.
They needed to make some changes because they snuck into the playoffs last year, but they slumped into the playoffs where they
about got Sirianni fired.
Yeah, about got him fired, and early in September is okay. He might get fired soon. And now he's in the Super Bowl. Hiring. I don't even know who their OC is. That's right. It is Kellen Moore.
He might be the Saints' next head coach. Watch for that.
Interesting. Came from the Chargers, right? Because he was with Dallas, and then he was with the Chargers for a season, maybe two seasons. I think it was just one.
Just last year, then Staley got fired.
That's right. And then, Fangio, obviously, he was a bad head coach. And then, for the most part, a disaster in Miami. And now he's he's a candidate for coordinator of the year there in Philadelphia. And they've had a great defense. He's had more talent on that defense. But
then you look at Kansas City. Spags has been there for so long. If they win this one, it's his fifth Super Bowl.
Yeah. Spags was a terrible head coach. And I'm honestly surprised he hasn't gotten another gig because that defense is awesome.
Too. Their special team's awesome. I'm surprised Dave Hobe has never got though he's really old now, I'm surprised he never got more of a look.
Yeah. Matt Nagy, I mean, his tenure in Chicago ended terribly, but he was good. That's a good point. They've already crowned Ben Johnson the greatest coach to ever live, and the Bears are back, baby. They're back. Back from back to what, though? They haven't been good.
Ask Denny Green about crowning people.
You want to crown them? Crown them. they are who we thought they were. Yeah. I will say about Ben Johnson is he's hiring a lot of inexperience to be his coordinators so far. He hired a young guy from Denver, right, to be his OC.
Well, tight end coach, which I'm not saying the guy, I'm sure the guy is very skilled at knowing all, but Denver's tight ends doing nothing this year. hired him and then hired Dennis Allen for the
That's a good hire because he's probably not going to get a third gig, so he'll be there for a while.
He's a good DC.
And of course, an offensive coordinator under Ben Johnson is not going to call the plays, so that played a little bit of a role there. But he's hired a few Detroit assistants, which you knew he probably would. He wasn't going to raid their staff, but he hired Antoine Randall, who is a Chicago suburb native.
I did not know that. I knew he played in Indiana, but I didn't know where he's from.
He grew up 20 minutes maybe from where I live in Thornton Township. He's back home. And I was reading a little bit about it. He wanted to be a Bear out of college, but they didn't draft him, obviously.
Steelers did. Steelers it worked did. Out well. He won a Super Bowl there.
It worked out real well for him. But
threw a touchdown in Super Bowl 40.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. Obviously, he's a well-respected former player and a well-respected assistant.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting because Bears fans crown these guys so quickly. They crown the Bears the best offense in the NFC. They're a Super Bowl contender. They go out and win, five games this past season. So if they start out here in September 1-3 or something like that, they're going to turn pretty quickly on Ben Johnson because that's kind of their MO in the NFL anyway.
And it's interesting with this coaching carousel. You got a team like Denver who made it as a wild card team, and their staff's getting picked apart right now.
Yeah.
Assistant GM is the new GM of the Jets now. Like I said, tight ends coach is the new OC in Chicago, and it looks like their passing game coordinator or analyst, whatever you're gonna call him, is gonna be the new OC in Detroit.
I read that.
Interesting.
Today.
So,
speaking of Detroit could be a team that has two new coordinators that go to a Super Bowl next year.
Yeah,
because they should be good again.
Man, I just think they're going to take a step back. I could be wrong. I don't know.
The way they lost in the NFC Championship game last year, and then losing at home to Washington in the divisional round, when you had home field throughout, you could see teams come back. And it just kind of tanked from there. So they'll be a fascinating team to watch. They get healthier on defense, of course. But, Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator, is the head coach, new head coach of the New York Jets. Obviously, this doesn't mean a whole lot, but his defense was terrible towards the end of the year. Couldn't get a single stop when they needed it to.
They were injured.
They were very injured. And again, I don't know if being a good coordinator is a great measure of head coach success, because we've seen John Harbaugh was a special teams guy. If you're a good leader, put a good staff around you, you could be a head coach for a long time. I don't think Dan Campbell was ever a coordinator anywhere. I think he was
a coach. Yeah.
Something like that. So that doesn't mean anything. Now, on the surface, it doesn't strike fear into a fellow AFC East fan in me. It'll be interesting to see if he and Aaron Rodgers are a culture fit together. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is a culture fit with anyone at this point in his career. That is the one storyline for the New York Jets anyway. Can they coexist?
Well, before we keep talking NFL, let's get the birdie or bogey going, since it's about 9.5 minutes and we haven't even got it underway yet.
We've been doing the birdie bogey for about almost 8 years, I'll say, and I completely forgot about it tonight.
I had a feeling you might have, so I'm like
428 episodes later, and
I gotcha. But you're just hurting yourself. You got less time to think about this.
Nah, not that it matters.
So Andy Reid is trying to go for Super Bowl number 4. There are 4 other guys that have won 3 or more Super Bowls. Name 3 for a par, 4 for a birdie.
All right. I would say I have a shot.
Yeah, anyway. I think you at least get a par. At least
a par. 3 or more.
Felt nice tonight. Remember this. I felt nice because we're sucking up the joint.
Yeah.
So far.
Last week's question I gave you was very hard, so I was anticipating like a LPGA tour.
Our buddy Aaron Lynch wanted me to give you that Colts question I said earlier.
I would have had no idea.
That's too hard.
I would have had no idea. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for I still can't get the read memorized.
Upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Visit them at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And just for example of one thing you can get there, their special over the weekend was crab cake minis made with super lump crab and a delicious blend of herbs and spices served on a creamy bed, I cannot read today, of horseradish sauce. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
You're a fan of crab, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not huge on crab cakes, but I like crab. I think crab's it's a great meat. And like, I like crab legs, but yet they frustrate me because they're a lot of work.
I was going to say, it seems like a lot of work.
They can get into, and it's really good once you're in there, but yeah, they can really frustrate you. So yeah. I don't know. I know you don't like seafood. So.
Yeah. I don't like really anything where their primary ecosystem is underwater.
Yeah. Wow, that's one of the more intelligent things you've ever said on the podcast.
I'm 33
primary now. Ecosystem. Yes. Yes. J-Man had a birthday yesterday. So happy late birthday in your Larry Bird era, your Kareem Abdul-Jabbar era, your Nick Swisher era. How many more 33s can I name?
33. I can't name you a single 33 besides those guys. I
can't think of any football 33s.
Probably be a running back, I would imagine. Yeah,
probably would.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a very good number 33 somewhere.
Scottie Pippen era.
Scottie, yeah. Always a sidekick.
Always.
Really.
Always. Top 50 player of all time by a lot of people's lists. I'm not so sure. Maybe at one time he was, but there's been so many good players since he's retired.
Yeah, I think he's kind of down.
Top 100 for sure.
I would say, I would even venture to say top 75, yeah, but I'm not sure about top 50 anymore.
That's fair.
But going back to Andy Reid, I was thinking about this earlier. He went from, you know, just 5 years ago, this guy can't win the big game. He's always the bridesmaid, never the bride sort of deal. Now I would put him maybe the second greatest coach in the history of the NFL behind Bill Belichick. I mean, if he wins this one, it'll be, you know, 4 in 7 seasons. And he's the all-time winningest coach with the Eagles, all-time winningest coach with the Chiefs. So what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's hard to argue. I definitely think he's top three. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name some other guys because they might be in the answers. But no, he's all-time winningest head coach in Eagles history and Chiefs history. That's pretty impressive. I was thinking this morning, like, I wonder when he's going to hang it up. I mean, I think he's having a great time, of course. Mm-hmm. But like,
winning's fun.
He's definitely has less years in front of him than he does more.
He's got to be getting pretty close to 70, right?
He's 66, I believe, because the AFC West now, with the addition of Pete Carroll, 61-year-old Sean Payton, 61-year-old Jim Harbaugh, 66 Andy Reid, and 73 Pete Carroll. You know, Pete doesn't look 73.
No.
And then you got a division like the AFC South, which their average head coach is like 29 point something. So it's crazy.
39 something, not 29 something.
No, 29 something.
29.
The AFC South coaches are young.
They're younger than us?
Yeah, the Jaguars coach is.
No, he's not. He's 39. I looked him up today cuz I thought he was he looked younger than us.
Oh, let me.
Yeah, Liam.
You're probably right, 39. I'm going to fact check
myself. He's 39. He had a cringy moment today. Did you see it in the
I did not.
He goes, "Duval." And then he just stared and no one really laughed or did anything. It was kind of embarrassing. I got extreme secondhand embarrassment from it.
Yeah, you're right. It was 39. My bad.
That's all right. That 29 seemed young. I know we'll have head coaches eventually that are younger than us. I'm not ready for that moment yet.
No.
No. Yeah.
No. But no, the Chiefs, everybody in America that's not a Chiefs fan has Chiefs fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they do now. If they didn't already, I think most people had them already. I don't know, man. It's almost like they coast through the regular season, not playing very well, and then they find another gear in the postseason.
Yeah, coast through the regular season and still go 15-2.
I know.
It's crazy. Because I'm right there with you. I felt like they did coast, and they weren't that great. And
nope.
They only lost 2 games. And then, yeah, they turned it on in the postseason. Obviously, they didn't win either game convincingly, but they did enough to get it done, which is what they've done all season. Man, poor Josh Allen. He can beat the Chiefs in the regular season, but once the playoffs starts, He just can't beat them. I know it's not always his fault because his teams, I think, are averaging 30 points a game against them.
Yeah,
in the postseason. But he came out yesterday and looked nervous, especially on the first drive or two, and then settled in a little bit. But still, he just wasn't able to get it done late. Some of that wasn't his fault. Obviously, Kincaid had a drop. It would have been a tough.
Even though I don't know how that ball got through there to begin with.
Yeah,
he just threw it up.
Yeah, he just threw it up because he had to, because he was about to get sacked. And you have nothing to lose because it's fourth down. Yep. You just got to throw it up. If it gets picked off, who cares?
Yep.
It was a heck of a throw. It was a tough ball to catch because if you watch it from the back view, Kincaid was going one way and literally had to dive the opposite direction, and it was kind of a knuckleball. So I'm sure he's getting some hate there in Buffalo, but that would have been a ridiculous catch to make. So I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. But and then Bills defense just couldn't come up with one more stop, give up a few first downs, and that's kind of what Pat has done his entire career, really.
Sure is. But I'm over the Bills. I'm tired of the storyline. So close, can't get it. I mean, and I know it's against the Chiefs every year. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. They've lost the Bengals too in that stretch as well.
You know, it feels like. The window, I don't know. I shouldn't say that because the roster was probably more talented last year than it was this year. Mm-hmm. They still got the AFC Championship game. I wanted to say the window's starting to close, but probably not yet. But I don't know. It's interesting with Sean McDermott. So I was thinking last night, do you fire him? Nah. And then I was like, no, because who are you going to replace him with?
Right. You're not going to get a better replacement.
No.
All you really got to do is keep getting there and maybe one day. You look at – we talked about this last week with Peyton. It took him till year nine.
And the Eagles earlier, we mentioned Andy Reid. They knocked on the door for years and then finally got there, even though they lost to the Patriots.
But yeah, you keep getting there and you're going to have some things bounce your way and stuff. And Bills need to get home field, definitely. Obviously, they've been really close in Kansas City twice now. The 13-second game, which I can't imagine how their fan base was feeling during that one. Not that there was any guarantee they beat Cincinnati the next week. You just keep getting there. I think taking Keon Coleman instead of a Xavier Worthy, because I think Worthy was still on the board.
They traded the pick, yep. The way she took him again.
I think that it's obviously hindsight at this point, because Xavier Worthy had some characteristics. I know a lot of teams didn't like, because he didn't have great hands, wasn't a great route runner, but the dude runs 4.2, and he's a perfect fit for the Kansas City offense. Just get him out in space, Tyreek Hill in that aspect. But you lose Diggs, and you honestly had a better season, so. You surround Allen with some more weapons there, and I think the defense is getting older, though. Mm-hmm. Their offensive coordinator will be back, Joe Brady, but if they have a great year again, I bet he's the top head coaching candidate in next year's cycle. So you'll probably lose him. So they got to get it done here pretty quick because, again, it does feel like that window's closing a little bit, but at the same time, you feel like the Chiefs' window should be closing, but they just keep getting it done.
Yeah.
And they keep drafting young guys to kind of carry things on. And I think we'll see them there year and year and year after year going forward. Because Mahomes is he 30 yet? He's got to be close.
He's close, if not. I'm sticking with my bold prediction. One of my bold predictions of 2025 that the Broncos will win the AFC West. Because I'm so hopeful. Like, at this point, I don't even care. I do care, but I wouldn't care, like, just to see them get knocked off. Let the Chargers go win it. Raiders, I don't know if I can stomach that. But, man.
Yeah. To see the Chiefs, I mean, I barely remember a world before the Chiefs played in every AFC championship.
Oh, I missed Alex Smith, Romeo Crennel days. The early Andy Reid days there.
They were good, but not – I mean, you
didn't strike fear in you.
No. And it's we have Chiefs fatigue. I have Eagles fatigue too. I have NFC East fatigue all the time. But the Eagles, I mean, it's not like they've been there and won a bunch, but I just don't like the Eagles. Fan base, I don't like Nick Sirianni.
I think, and I mean, in our lifetime that even though they haven't done anything since 96, the Cowboys still probably could be considered the best NFC team in our lifetime. But since we've been seriously watching the NFL, I think the Eagles are the best NFC team overall.
I mean, yeah, we've seen them in the NFC Championship game a bunch. This is now their third Super Bowl we've seen them in. They've won one.
Fourth
Super Bowl we've seen them in. They've won one. Third in the past 8 years or so.
Eight or nine years or so.
So I would say, the Eagles are. Elsewhere, I don't – I mean, it seems they have significantly more parity in the NFC because we've had to watch Brady go to 12 of them.
Yep.
Peyton went to three. Now we have Mahomes. This is
Peyton went to four.
Four.
One with the Colts, 1-1 with the Broncos. You forgot Super Bowl 48. It's okay. It's okay.
I was actually forgetting the one they lost. Sorry. Actually, you're welcome for that one.
Yeah, I said Super Bowl 48. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No.
43-8. You forgot that one.
Your expectation to know which Super Bowl – to think that I would know which Super Bowl is which is way too high.
My bad.
Way too high. And then, of course, Ben Roethlisberger played in a couple.
Yep.
Then we had one-offs like Flacco.
Yep.
But other than that, it's been a Mahomes-Brady-Manning show for 2 decades now.
Which this might make what Kansas City's doing even more impressive because we talked about this just a week or two ago. The AFC's loaded compared to the NFC.
Yeah.
Like even going forward.
Yeah. Especially quarterback wise.
Yeah.
You have Burrow and Allen and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and so many other guys, too, that would be considered good, at least in the NFC, you know, as Hurts. And they have Goff. And it's just, I'm sure.
I still don't even know how to throw Goff in there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm with a team.
I don't even know if I'd throw Hurts in there. If he was with anyone else, I don't think he'd be a starter.
Jaden Daniels might deserve to be in there already.
Maybe. I'm interested to see if he can replicate. I wasn't a huge fan of him coming into the draft.
Right.
I just didn't think he didn't play that well against the good opponents. And then he beat up on the little ones. He won the Heisman, obviously. But obviously, he's really good. But again, we see rookies have incredible years. Maybe it's the RG3 thing in my brain. He had the awesome rookie year. Obviously, he hurt his knee. The end of his rookie year in the playoffs. But, they could be the first team ever to win three in a row. And honestly, this dynasty the Chiefs have is making the Patriots look a lot more tolerable.
Absolutely. 100%.
I didn't hate them as much.
It was fun to root against them. But, I mean, I don't – I'm going to get some heat for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. And I think some of it's the Taylor Swift stuff too, just adds to it, to be honest. And some of her fan base, not all of her fans, but some of her fan base. So. Yeah.
Tom Brady was a lot more likable than Patrick Mahomes too. Which is weird because I hated Tom.
His family never did anything.
That's a good point.
Crazy.
Giselle had that moment where she was like, Tom can't catch the ball too.
That's true.
This deal. That's true. It wasn't a constant week in, week out. You have to hear about this family. Kelsey, I've never been a fan. We both hated Kelsey a lot longer than we
did. When he came out of Cincinnati and he started blossoming in the NFL, I'm like, he's the cockiest guy in the league.
I don't mind Andy Reid. I think
Andy Reid's a good guy,
great coach.
I like George Karloftis, of course, but morning, I'm like, George, I don't know what it's like not to go to Super Bowl. This is third year.
Yeah.
And it's third Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's pretty good for him. And he's arguably their top defensive player, him and Chris Jones.
He doesn't always get the sacks, but he's right there.
Yeah.
Man.
I will be in a position where I'm probably going to root for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm rooting for the Eagles.
And I can't stand that. And I wish I would have had a hard time rooting for the Commanders, too. Of course.
It would just been weird.
It would have been. I would have disliked the Commanders-Bills Super Bowl equally because I just – Commanders have 1 year and they get to the Super Bowl, you know, after being the worst team in the NFL last – one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. And I can't stand the Bills.
One of the worst for the last decade.
Yeah. That's another thing we could talk about in our lifetime. Who's the worst franchise? And I would put Washington right near there. They went to Super Bowl when I was born.
Yeah, for the NFC, that's a great question. AFC's the Browns.
Definitely.
There's not much.
Yeah.
NFC.
Although Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2000. They have the longest stretch.
But I'm not. They're better than the Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, they, at least they
they're winning seasons. Usually mediocre at worst.
But NFC, yeah. Yeah, the Commanders. Yeah. Panthers were pretty good in the early 2000s. And then,
they were.
Of course,
they've been to two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably Commanders.
Bears have been pretty bad. They had the
Bears Super Bowl. Have been.
That makes
That's true.
A little better. The Lions still.
Oh, yeah.
I know they've had the success the past couple of seasons, but it's either the Lions or the Commanders.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
They played an equal amount of conference championship games now.
I mean, if you're going to go the Dolphins route, then if you're putting that logic out there, I'm going to say the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not, but if we're using that, like haven't won something since, well,
that's a good point.
The Cowboys are the only team in the NFC who has not made the NFC championship in the 2000s. The last 25 years. It's incredible.
Which is very okay with me because I can't imagine how bad Twitter would be that day or how much
boy.
I hate it. They would be awful. Cause,
I don't think Schottenheimer's getting them there. So
no, he said today we will win. But every single coach and every single press conference in the history.
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, we're going to lose.
We're going
to
win.
We're hoping to get 500.
We'll be all right.
Hoping to break even, as Ricketts says.
Hoping to break even. Yeah. Their bottom line is all the fans should care about. Line in their pockets. Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah. I just had to get you fired up.
I hate that guy.
The Eagles, though, put up 55 points. Yes, yeah, most pretty darn impressive.
Ever in a conference championship game. Saquon, the acquisition of the offseason, 2,000 yards in the regular season. He's
one of the best ever.
Ever. Positions. I would say. Yeah, I agree with you.
That was my best fantasy football pick I've ever had. Yeah, I got laughed at when I took him.
None of us knew he'd obviously do this, but because he hadn't been that good with the Giants and the.
Good to help either.
Man, the Giants are—they've won two Super Bowls, so I can't.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, they're two for two in Super Bowls, and they made another one and lost in the early 2000s
right, to Baltimore. Yeah,
got killed, but yeah.
Yeah, nowadays I would say they're one of the worst run organizations in the NFL. But letting Saquon go for nothing was pretty stupid.
Yes, it was.
Especially to a division rival.
Exactly. I mean, I know he had an agreement with them. He was supposed to go back and tell them the offer, and then they're going to try to match, but he didn't do it. That's their dumb fault for not at least giving them a franchise or tag or something.
Something. I'd want to play for the Eagles more than the Giants anyway. They were ready to compete. And John Mara, their owner, said, I won't be able to sleep if he signs with the Eagles. And so it's been about 300-some days of no sleep for John Mara. Mara, whatever his name is.
We need a check on John there.
Johnny boy.
Welfare check. But, we'll save our predictions for next week for the Super Bowl. But, Super Bowl 59, not one I'm really looking forward to, but I'll watch it, like you said.
Yeah, I haven't really enjoyed the past couple Super Bowls. It's because of the Chiefs.
Right.
It's because of the Chiefs. Who'd they play last year? I don't even remember.
Niners.
San Francisco. Yeah, that was.
And you probably rooted for the Chiefs.
Oh, no, I didn't. I was rooting for the Niners.
I just thought with your wife's uncle being a big Niners fan, you might root for Chiefs.
I don't hate the Niners.
Yes.
Yet. Yeah. I was rooting for the
Eagles. Starting to drop off a little bit. So.
Yeah, they need some changes there. I don't think, obviously, Shanahan's not going to go anywhere yet. But if they have a bad year next year, it might be a time for old change of scenery. Sort of deal.
Yeah.
For both of them. So maybe even a John Lynch change of scenery too.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave him a big contract, like a 6-year. And it's going pretty good so far until maybe this year.
Yeah. The Trey Lance thing. Might be the thing that does him in.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, Brock Purdy's been all right for him. But
they
lucked into that one.
A ton of draft picks to move up to number 3, and now we're seeing them getting old and hurt and expensive, and you know, you draft a little better that year, and maybe it's more sustainable.
True. Well, you ready for our next part of our 25 bold predictions for 2025. Yes, sir. Got difficult today. Terrible. So next week's the last part of them, and probably going to be even more difficult. But what do you got for me today?
My first one is the White Sox break their own record for losses in a season.
I thought you might say like the White Sox lose only 99 games or something.
You have to have a lot go wrong and some bad luck in there to get there, but they've spent very few amount of dollars. They traded away their best pitcher, Garrett Crochet. It's bold because they probably won't, because they can't be bad. They can't be worse. They just can't be worse. The one team that might be as bad this year, although they have better pitching, is the Marlins. The Marlins, their president of baseball ops, Peter Bendix, who came from the Tampa Bay Rays. Not saying this is a bad thing. He looks like a nerd. Just Google him. he said, we will be a factor in free agency. You know how much money they've spent in free agency? And it's January 27th.
Very, very little, if any.
$0. $0 on a major league contract, which is embarrassing. So the Marlins might break that record as well.
You know, you brought up the Rays there for a second. That's one of the things I'm most intrigued about this MLB season, is just seeing their environment of their home games.
Yeah. Them and Oakland, too, because Oakland will be in Sacramento.
Sacramento. Which they're just going by the Athletics, right? They're not the Sacramento Athletics, just the Athletics.
Just the Athletics.
All right. My first one tonight, Russell Wilson will be a Las Vegas Raider in 2025.
I feel like that's a pretty good I would say that's bold, but an attainable bold. Yeah.
He wanted to be a Raider last year. Didn't happen. Now Pete's there. You know, there was a rumor 2 years ago when he went to the Broncos that the relationship wasn't good. Turns out to be false. They're pretty close still. Even if they want to draft Shadir at number 6, you got to have a veteran probably to help him out. So,
yeah,
it makes sense, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of Russell Wilson, this has to do with his what you will think will be former team. The Pittsburgh Steelers finished under 500 for the first time since 2003. They're due.
They're due.
I don't think they're very good.
They are due. They got to figure out if they don't keep Russell, they got to figure out the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I guess Justin Fields could technically be a Raider. I heard that rumor like a month ago. But I don't know if he's – I don't know. About him. He's athletic, but I don't know about him. My next bold prediction for 2025, Rory McIlroy will win a major in 2025.
Oh, you can book it.
Just not the Masters.
Well, you can book him wearing a major anyway. I'll take that. The Bears win the NFC North. Bold.
That is bold coming from you.
Yeah.
You trashed them quite a bit, including a little bit tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think Ben Johnson being a big Cubs fan plays a factor in that that prediction as well. But they have the pieces. They have the draft capital. And if Ben Johnson can have an offense like he did in Detroit, I think they're very capable of doing that.
I finally got a baseball one. This is my 18th bold prediction 2025, and I think it's my first baseball one I've had on here. The Athletics will make the postseason.
That is bold.
And why I'm doing it, I was looking for a team that, like, not too many people think might make the postseason. And I was like, wow, after July 3rd, I think it was, they had a winning record.
Yeah, they have some young talent. Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker. Had a great year for them. They've made a few moves in the offseason that could have them at least in position to be talked about come August. I don't know if they'll be playoff good, but they were pretty solid after the All-Star break, which not many people thought they would be. So
it would be a cool story. It'd be that they're temporarily in Sacramento.
It would. I would hope they do the whole major league thing with the owner and try to kind of screw the owner over a little bit. Because that owner stinks. So,
I had a Pittsburgh Steelers fan text me, said you should be fired or at least suspended for predicting that the Steelers will be under 500.
It's a bold prediction. That's what I'm saying. That's why I put it on there. But it remains to be seen because we're now 22 seasons of them.
Tomlin's pretty darn good.
500 or above. So that's why it's bold.
Yep.
Football one here. Aaron Rodgers decides to play in the NFL next year, but is traded.
All right. So one of us, well, I guess both of us could be wrong if he comes back as a Jet. Because one of my bold ones was he's going to retire.
Yeah.
Now you're saying he's going to come back but not be a Jet. Any idea where that could be if he's traded?
I was thinking the Raiders.
Honestly. Yeah. I could see it. Yeah. Who knows what Pete's got up his sleeve? Can't believe he's only gone for a year out of the league.
It felt like a lot more.
It did. And
he said he's still going to be a professor at USC too. So
that's cool. I didn't even know he was a professor. So
I don't know if they technically call him a professor, but he's teaching courses there.
So he's a Big Ten professor.
He's a Big Ten professor. Yeah.
Wow. My next one is baseball related again. Mike Trout will stay healthy for the entire season of 2025.
That might be the boldest one you've had yet.
I'm hoping.
I know.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, he hasn't had a full season since
2019.
I was going to say pre-COVID.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Last one here is a Big Ten related one. I think we have turnover at least 4 schools as far as the head coach goes.
For basketball.
I don't even think about football. And those 4 coaches, I think Mike Woodson, I think it would be a surprise if he's back at this
point. I think the nail went in the coffin yesterday.
I agree.
Unless they somehow get hot and make tournament.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of season left for this one, but I think Fran McCaffrey's 15-year run is done. The fans have turned on him. They were very fortunate to beat Penn State the other night on Friday night. They were up. I went to bed and they were up.
Yeah, I flipped it with 3 minutes left. I thought it was over.
They were up like 13 with like 4 minutes left. And when I woke up, my dad said, yeah, Iowa only won by 1. And Penn State had a chance at the buzzer to win. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. After their Minnesota loss at home, the talk got a little louder.
Which good for Ben Johnson, Minnesota. They're playing better.
I was just about to say, Ben Johnson, they've won some games. They won in Iowa. They beat Oregon at home. Beat Michigan. So they're in a real good stretch here. So obviously the season could take, and he could be one of them that's gone. I think watch for Mick Cronin to take a job somewhere else, because I don't think he's liking it
out for the Big Ten.
At UCLA, he's whined about the travel so much already, and they've kind of underachieved so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to take a job. Maybe Cincinnati's coach gets fired and he goes back there.
I don't even know who's coaching down there now.
Owen Miller, I think his name is. They came into the year ranked, but they had a trash non-conference schedule where they ran through it and they were up in like, I think the top 15, and now they're 2-6 or 2-7 in Big 12 play. So that's why I don't have any respect for these schools that play no one in the non-conference. Painter likes to play a bunch of tough opponents in non-con. Brad Underwood the same. Tom Izzo the same. Guys like Fran McCaffrey don't. So
how about Hoiberg? I gotta think maybe it's time.
Maybe last year might have saved him, but they're sitting here at 2-7.
Yeah,
and they have
they don't look good at all.
On Thursday. They look bad on Sunday. I don't remember last time Illinois lost there. It's been a house of horrors for a lot of Big Ten.
God, I don't like going there.
Opponents.
God, I don't like going there.
I don't
care for what you wish for, J-Man.
Oh, no, I'm with you, because I think it'll be a very close game and they'll probably lose. Illinois will, because they're, again, still not healthy. And yesterday they played very well up until the final 3 minutes. I don't know if you watched the end of that.
I didn't see any of that.
They were up 19 with 2 minutes and 54 seconds left. Next thing you know, it's like an 8-point game with 40 seconds left, and Underwood had yanked everyone. He put them all back in. He's screaming at them. So they played poorly at the end. So at least there's something to practice, you know, there's something to get on them about. I don't think Illinois lost there since 2019 or 18.
Yeah. I hate playing there. Hate it.
They're usually close games. I mean, I remember watching one with you. Illinois was ranked 6th. And they were down the whole game, down 8 with about a minute and a half left, and somehow tied it and won in overtime. That wasn't a very fun experience, but they won. But, maybe. I've seen a lot of Iowa fans say, hey, what about Hoiberg? He's an Iowa guy.
Yeah, but he played at Nebraska.
Yeah, that's the thing that doesn't make – no, did he?
Yeah. Yes.
I thought he was Iowa State, because he was head coach at Iowa State.
I thought he was in Nebraska.
I'm pretty sure he's Iowa State because he was the mayor there. They called him the mayor.
Okay. Tyronn Lue played in Nebraska.
Yeah, he played in Nebraska.
But I'm not getting Tyronn Lue and Fred Hoiberg.
I hope not.
Even though their NBA career is pretty similar.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Hoiberg was an Iowa State guy.
Tyronn Lue's the most famous for Allen Iverson walking over him.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yep. My last one is Scott McLaughlin will win the Indy 500.
There you go. You got it right. Was it last year you got it right?
Yeah, 2 years ago. Two years ago with Newgardner. Newgardner's went back to back. McLaughlin was a pole sitter last year, finished sixth. Before that, his best finish at Indy was 14th. So, yeah, if he's a pole sitter, he can do good enough to get up there on the pole again or close to it. And if you don't get wrecked, hang around there and see what happens. So.
I know as much about racing as I do cricket. So those.
I know a little more about racing than I do cricket, but
yeah.
Still not a ton, but, especially IndyCar. So we got five more coming at you next week. And then our list will be done. I know one of my five next week. That's a given. Yeah, but the other ones, yeah. I don't know yet.
I have no idea. Do you want to get educated? I have it pulled up here.
I really need it. Reading's hard for me tonight. I'm struggling. Yeah.
On this day in 1894, the first college basketball game ever was played. The University of Chicago beat Chicago YMCA 19-11.
I wonder if Chicago YMCA had a nickname.
I don't know.
I wonder what Chicago's nickname was.
There's still a University of Chicago.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
I knew Chicago State. I didn't
know. There's also a University of Illinois, Chicago. I'm sure there's still a University of
Chicago. Illinois, Chicago's the Flames.
Yeah.
Which I saw they're doing decent this year.
Yeah,
not bad. First time they've done well in a while.
Yeah. Them and Loyola have kind of become a good rivalry there in the city. They hate each other.
My wife and I were eating at a restaurant Saturday. It was like a late lunch, and your wife's alma mater was playing Bradley on the TV.
Oh, she was glued to it, too.
I'm sure she was.
She was glued to it.
I'm sure she was.
On this day in 1967, the New Orleans Saints signed their first player in franchise history. He was a kicker. It's kind of boring.
Who was it?
Paige Cothran. Never heard of him.
Mm-mm.
1969, Chuck Knoll is named head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was the youngest coach in NFL history at the time. He won quite a few Super Bowls there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Bill Cowher would take over for him eventually.
That's crazy. 1970, who was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft? Hall of Famer.
Was it Staubach?
Good guess. Terry Bradshaw.
All right. SMU zone.
1973, UCLA won their 61st consecutive game basketball.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty good. It's a big one for the Cubs. On this day in 1982, the Philadelphia Phillies traded shortstop Larry Boa and infielder Ryne Sandberg to the Chicago Cubs for second baseman Ivan DeJesus.
Both of them were managers, too.
Yeah.
Throughout their career.
Both for the Phillies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out pretty well for the Cubs, I would say.
I'd say so.
On this day in, we're in the 90s now. A lot of Australian Open.
Nah, struggle.
Who won the Super Bowl on this day in 91?
Oh, man, I get these years confused. Was that the Redskins over the Bills?
That was 92. That was the day I was born.
The Giants?
Yep. Over the Bills, 29. Yeah. Otis Anderson.
Wide right, right?
I believe so.
I get those two Super Bowls mixed up all the time.
On this day, there's some NFC, AFC championships. On this day in... Oh, boy. There's some Pro Bowls. That's boring. On this day in 2013, the NFC beat the AFC in the Pro Bowl. Who was the Pro Bowl MVP? You're not going to get it.
Chris Johnson.
I don't think he played for the NFC, did he?
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention. I wasn't even paying attention to who won.
My boy Kyle Rudolph won Pro Bowl MVP.
Yeah, he gave me 100 guesses. I couldn't tell you Kyle Rudolph ever made a Pro Bowl.
Oh, man. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl since about 2011.
It's flag football style now.
It's terrible.
Eli against Peyton. The other skills competitions are kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, every once in a while.
But the game's not that great. But,
The game is brutal. The epitome of brutality.
Okay, John.
Johnny boy.
Is that it for this week's on this day? That is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it will be for every week in 2025, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Thad's Wooden Signs make a great gift for any holiday or any special occasion. So get your sign orders in. Tell them Tan and J-Man Show sent you. Get 15% off your first one.
Yes, sir.
College hoops.
And
I'm gonna let my dog out real quick.
All right. College B-ball. We are hitting the dog days of January. We're about halfway through Big Ten play. I think everyone's played 10 games. I think Michigan State's only played 8 or 9, which is weird. But, yeah, Big Ten hoops. We're seeing some teams start to separate a little bit. Michigan State still has not lost. They are 8-0 in Big Ten play. Purdue's right behind them. Then you're all jumbled up with Oregon, Wisconsin, Illinois right there, round out the top five, I believe. Maryland's up there as well, Indiana. Have a bunch of teams 500 or better in Big Ten play about halfway through is what I was saying. But Michigan State still undefeated. Purdue picked up their second loss of Big Ten play. Oregon picked up their third. Wisconsin's picked up a loss this past week. Illinois picked up a loss this past week. So it was really a good week for Michigan State. I think they only played one game. But a really good week for Maryland. Going on the road and just destroying Illinois on Thursday and then finding a way to get it done. Blew a 10-point lead at Indiana. Indiana somehow gets a 5-point lead with about 2 minutes left, and Maryland hit some big shots. Trey Galloway missed a front end of a 1-and-1, and then Maryland gets away with what was probably a walk or a double dribble. And Maryland nailed a three to go up one. And then one of the worst out-of-bounds plays with about 4 seconds left you'll ever see.
The exclamation was worse from Rice,
the player.
He said their substitutions confused them.
Absolutely, which I 100% agree with that because he had the play set up, and it was obviously a much better play than that because he had called a timeout. And then it got knocked out of bounds. And I think you're going to have a Renew one-on-one against either – I don't know who was on him. I think it was Queen that was on him. And Renew had started to hit some shots and kind of got into a rhythm. Ball gets knocked out of bounds. Woody's idiotic butt put in three new guys that have played four total possessions on offense in Big Ten play.
He was not only saying that. He was saying Maryland's defensive subs confused them too.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It was just an absolute mess. He had two guys in the same spot right in the corner, and Rice had to throw up the worst little turnaround three, which he had been hot, and I thought it was going in when it left his hand, but it didn't, and Maryland escaped.
But either way, man, you're up four at home with 35 seconds left. You got to find a way to pull that out.
Yeah, Rice was stupid for giving the ball up. He's a 90-plus percent free throw shooter. Yep. Galloway's below 70%. He's never been a good free throw shooter, and he missed it. And then, obviously, I think it was Rodney Rice hit the big three for Maryland. And massive win for them. And now you look at Indiana's next five games or so, they're going to be underdogs in every single one of them. And that sort of loss could turn into pretty ugly stretch of basketball here. I mean, you had Woodson walking off the court without even shaking hands, and Luke Goody's actually the one that said get back over there and shake Kevin Willard's hand,
which was good. I'm glad you brought that up, because I got a question for you. Is it time college basketball gets away from the handshake line?
Yeah.
Do what the NBA does, point at each other.
Yeah.
Us coaches and walk.
Yeah. Illinois and Indiana did that. Of course, there was a kerfuffle there with 2 minutes left, and they wanted to not
have
anything further.
I don't know. I just don't see any point.
I think Patino's been doing that at St. John's. They haven't been doing a handshake line. Underwood had said after the game, actually against Indiana, that he's still in favor of it because, you know, sometimes the other team's going to score more points in the end. You just got to kind of suck it up and go through, show some sportsmanship. But I think it's pointless. We've seen you know, fights break out in this line. I just don't think it's necessary anymore to do that. So I think we'll see that happening less and less here over the next coming years.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's not, these are not going good down there in Bloomington, and they don't really have any marquee wins at all, and they're going to have a lot of chances coming up, but like you said, they're going to be underdog, probably all of them, and you got to wonder what the morale and attitude's like in the locker room, and if they start snowballing even more losses, could it even get worse?
It's, I'm sure that locker room was not fun to be in on Sunday. But, yeah, their one saving grace is I know they'll be underdogs, but they'll have opportunity. And that's all you can ask for. You win, you know, three of your next five, and you're feeling pretty good about the way things are going. Because they have two quad one wins so far. And, yeah, you win three of the next five, and you're at five, and you're probably in the NCAA tournament at that point. Maybe not a lock, obviously, but you're at least in the convo. Because as of right now, I don't know where Lenardi has him, but I'm sure he has him about in the next eight or so out.
I haven't never even seen them on the next four.
He had them last week in his last four in, like the last
two. Really? I missed them.
I'm pretty sure. And then they've been bounced around from next four out to last four out.
I just don't see how they're even close to being in with the lack of wins.
Yeah. What is their best win so far? At Ohio State, maybe? Because Ohio State's a top 30 in the net, so that's an easy quad one. That's pretty much a quad 1A win for them. Non-con wise is their best
Providence,
and they're 500. Yeah. South Carolina at home, they're under 500.
Yeah,
they lost to Louisville, got killed by Louisville, got killed by Gonzaga, didn't really play anyone else.
No,
and again, that's a, and we talked about this at the time that wasn't very smart thing to do.
Yep. But it is it's interesting. You know, there's some Indiana fans that probably don't want to make the tournament because they don't want to keep Mike Woodson around. But I need to go back and find what they were tweeting about in Archie Miller's fourth and last year.
Yeah.
It was pretty similar.
I'm sure it was. Is this year four of
for
Woody,
Woodson,
right?
Yeah.
I think we said it at the time, though, like if this doesn't work out, where do they go? Because you're then another four years removed from being this blue blood of a program. Who's going to want this job? I think they'll have a good amount of candidates. I don't think they'll get a Nate Oates or a Bruce Pearl. I think a guy like Chris Beard's attainable.
Yeah.
Who's a good basketball coach. But
maybe Iowa State's coach.
He has a good thing going at Iowa State, though. Of course, a lot more
got a longer leash there.
A longer leash there, more resources. That's what I'm looking for at Indiana.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to get a massive pay raise, play in a better conference. The Big 12 is good usually, but it's also a much more difficult conference in the Big 10. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of candidate pool they can choose from. Because they're not getting Brad Stevens. They just need to nip that in the bud now so people don't actually get their hopes up that they can potentially get a Brad Stevens.
Yep. So they travel to Mackey Friday night on Fox. It's the lone game for Purdue and Indiana this week. And I was glad Purdue bounced back from a puzzling loss Tuesday night, which saw them up 16 at one time, up 13.5 against Ohio State. And end up losing by three, just still very weird. But they came out Friday night guns a-blazing against Michigan and their best performance of the year.
Yeah.
And just took it to them. Never trailed. Game was pretty much over at half.
Mackey has a way of punching you in the mouth in those first 8 minutes, and it's hard to recover once you get down, you know, 20 points by halftime.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ohio State pretty much did it.
Yeah, which was really impressive.
They got hot. Mm-hmm. Purdue missed some shots in the second half.
Some bunnies, too.
Usually don't miss. It was one of those things.
Nope.
Probably not the worst thing in the world that could have happened to them going forward. It might put more strain on them to win the Big Ten title, but might have been sort of a wake-up call because they'd been hot there for a while, too.
Yeah, it's seven straight going into that one. And I know Michigan State's got a two-game lead, but their brunt of their schedule's coming up, too.
So I don't believe in Michigan. Michigan State's good. I don't believe them as the best team in the Big Ten. I don't know if we have a team that you can say is the best team, because you have obviously Purdue won 7 in a row. Michigan State's undefeated. Illinois has stretches where they look unbelievable. Wisconsin's looked awesome. Oregon has been okay so
far. I think Illinois on just pure talent. I think Illinois and Maryland are the top two. You can flip those two. Yeah. But like I was telling my wife yesterday, just because you're the most talented team doesn't mean you're the best basketball team. And that's what I was trying to tell her between IU and Purdue's roster. IU's got more talent than Purdue. Mm-hmm. But I think Purdue's got better basketball players.
Definitely more.
She didn't really understand what I was trying to say there. So,
They have a massive head coaching advantage in that one. And again, just because you have the most expensive roster doesn't mean you're all going to mesh together.
100%.
Still, they have this old school roster where you're playing two bigs at one time. It worked for a little bit yesterday, and they got back in the game with that, mainly because Renew was hitting some shots and they couldn't keep him out of the paint. But I agree with you. I think probably on paper, Illinois is the most talented. They need to get healthy because Tomislav Ivicic has mono,
which could kill your seat, kill his seat.
Yeah. So who knows when he will be back? They need a healthy roster. And again, but still, they've had stretches when they're very healthy that they're just like that. It's not a good basketball team, but then they'll score 109 points at Oregon, consistency wise. But yeah, I think it's going to be a dogfight and maybe the closest Big Ten race we've seen since maybe the 2019-2020 season, where you had three teams at 14-6, and then Illinois was the fourth team at 13-7. It was just all bungled together, and they just beat the crap out of each other that season. So
we'll never know how that season was going to end.
No, never will, unfortunately. Going forward, it's even more difficult now when you add four new teams to the Big Ten. It just makes a brutal schedule already even more brutal.
Well, should we go through some games so you can do your bucket prediction of the week since you haven't done that yet?
I have to do that, yep.
Right now, tied at half, 35-35 is Penn State and Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan 6-2 in the conference. They have not played good basketball here the past couple weeks.
Right after you gave them a compliment.
I know.
They went downhill.
I think they find a way to get it done just because they're at home. 35-35 at half makes it easy to predict, though, as far as it's not one team's not up 20.
Iowa at Ohio State. Ohio State 7.5-point favorites. I think they get it done at home.
I do, too. They need it. Iowa can't play defense, especially away from Carver Hawkeye. So
UCLA's 1.5-point favorites on the road at USC. I think they get it done on the road.
Yeah, give me UCLA in front of about 9 people.
Tomorrow night, Minnesota at Michigan State. I like the Spartans on that one.
Yeah, Michigan State will get that done.
Wisconsin at Maryland Wednesday night. I'll take the Terps at home.
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Wisconsin's played some good ball. I'm surprised Maryland's not ranked after this past week. Give me Maryland in a close one at home. That'll be a good match. It'll be interesting to see if their fans show up for a 7 o'clock tip on a Wednesday, because they usually don't show up unless it's a weekend. So J-Man's book of prediction of the week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent or Travis Watchering Insurance Agent, Travis Watchering. Life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, farm insurance. Contact Travis, 219-869-4561.
Rutgers at Northwestern. Give me the Cats at home.
Yep.
Ohio State at Penn State Thursday night. I'm taking all hope teams right now. Give me Penn State.
Yeah, give me Penn State. We only got 30 seconds.
I know. Illinois at Nebraska. Give me Illini.
Give me Illinois on that one.
Oregon at UCLA. Give me Oregon.
Give me Oregon. Give me Purdue. Definitely. Give me
Purdue. Washington, Minnesota, give me Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Wisconsin, Northwestern, give me Wisconsin.
Give me Northwestern in that one.
Michigan, Rutgers, give me Michigan.
Give me Michigan, give me Michigan State.
Give me USC over Michigan State. Give me Illinois over Ohio State. Give me Oregon or Nebraska.
Illinois, Ohio State, I'll take Illinois as well, and I will be at that game. I mean, my first game in Champaign since 2013.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be fun. Birdie or bogey, Andy Reid can win his fourth Super Bowl. There are four other coaches that have three Super Bowls or more. Can you name them?
Bill Belichick.
He is number one with 6.
Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll is number 2 with 4.
Tom Landry.
He had 2.
Oh, son of a mother. 3 or more. 3 or more. Shula only had 2.
Bill Walsh.
He had three.
All right, so I get a par, right?
Yep.
Last one. I have no idea.
Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs won three? That's ridiculous. I was thinking Redskins, but I wasn't even thinking Joe Gibbs. So, thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a great week, everybody.